Luke chapter 23 and verse 13 to 25. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is anything but the truth. Anything but the truth. Humanly speaking, telling the truth can be dangerous, particularly biblical truth. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 4:16, Am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Our Lord Jesus bore witness of the truth. In John 3 and verse 19, we read, And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This explains the enmity towards our Lord Jesus, which reaches new heights of absurdity and irrationality in these verses. When men are blinded by sinful pride, we should not expect reason or even common sense to prevail. Things that make no sense in human terms do happen, and our only fallback is the providence of God and the utter foolishness and irrationality of sin. Otherwise, we cannot make sense of it all. Why large numbers of intelligent people should do what makes no sense, but which is in accordance with the sin of their hearts. We consider in these verses, first of all, unprincipled expediency fails. Secondly, a proposal of a pardon for the guiltless. Thirdly, sympathy for an unspecific Christ. And fourthly, preference for murderers. First of all, then, unprincipled expediency failed. Verse 13 to verse 16. Pilate states the case. Verse 14, he said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. He has examined him. The political charges that they brought won't stack up. And therefore, as far as Pilate is concerned, he is not guilty. Then he goes further, verse 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him, or done by him, or nothing that he has done is worthy of death. So he says, I've tried him. Herod, who presides over Galilee, from which this man originates, he has tried him, and therefore you cannot seriously expect me to pass the death sentence when I find him not guilty and Herod finds him not guilty. But we have a grotesque concession in verse 16. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now, the word there, chastise, means punish, and it could refer anything to anything up to a full scourging. So he isn't just saying, I give him a ticking off. He is saying, I will punish him physically and then let him go. I let him off with less than the death sentence. But why? He found no fault, verse 22. What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. In John's Gospel he says, I have found no fault in this man. Well, if that's the case, why chastise him? Why not just let him go? But Pilate didn't want to upset the Jews too much, though he knew that it was for envy that they accused him. So why punish him at all? He thought he could buy them off. That he could buy them off with a comparatively light punishment, and that would do. But he knew that the Lord Jesus was guiltless. He grossly underestimated the strength, the resolve of proud, offended Christ haters like these men. And it didn't work. It didn't work. The offer of a deal, an unprincipled deal, made things worse. A deal with those who hate our Lord Jesus doesn't work. He was treating Christ with contempt, as a bargaining chip, rather than upholding justice. And it didn't work. Unprincipled expediency doesn't work. We must never do deals at the expense of the honour of Christ. Never try to buy off the ungodly with what dishonours the Lord Jesus in the hope of concession. Truth is not ours to give away. The honour of Christ is not ours to give away. Yes, we can put up with much concerning ourselves, but never the honour of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, proposal of a pardon for the guiltless. Proposal for a pardon for the guiltless. Verse 17. for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Here is another attempt at fudge, at Christ-dishonoring compromise. John chapter 18 and verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? He finds a possible opening, the custom at Passover, to release one of the prisoners. He calls him the King of the Jews because he can't resist ridiculing the Jews. He wasn't exactly the soul of tact and discretion, but he sees an opportunity, a way out. The fullest account is given in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 6. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, and who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. So he seizes upon this custom. But it is clear that the custom was to release a prisoner, not because the prisoner was innocent. He could just as well release this murdering Barabbas. So it makes it clear that Pilate could release a guilty man, and eventually he did. So why was he offering to, as it were, pardon a man who had committed no crime? There was no fault in the Lord Jesus. Why was he offering to release him as that year's prisoner release? That year's pardon of a criminal? He was looking for a way to treat him as a criminal to appease the Jews, and yet release him because he knew he was innocent. He was willing to concede to their view of a guilty Jesus of Nazareth. But we must never do that. We must never, ever concede ground against our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. Pilate cared nothing for the honour of Christ. We must never do what he did. Never settle for a lower view of Christ, the God-man, sinless Redeemer. It would be interesting to know more clearly how much the enemies of our covenanting forefathers would have conceded to Christ. The men who persecuted the early covenanters, they believed in the Trinity. They believed in the deity of Christ. They believed that Christ was sinless, probably, most of them. But the Covenanters would not concede. The men who pursued them were not open atheists by and large. They believed quite a bit of truth. That's not to say they were regenerate, but they acknowledged quite a bit of truth. But they didn't acknowledge Christ as king over the church in practice. They believed the king had been given authority to govern the church, and they were wrong. And so the Covenanters opposed them. What would they think of us if we concede ground to those who openly deny the Lord and hate his name? We must be unyielding on the crown rights of Jesus Christ. We can give up our own things, our own honour, our own good, but not the honour of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, sympathy for an unspecific Christ. Sympathy for an unspecific Christ. Verse 20, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Willing to release Jesus. Why was the Lord Jesus, why was Pilate willing to release him? Why was Pilate willing to release him? Why did Pilate, a pagan, an ungodly man, a cruel man, why was he willing to release the Lord Jesus? He appealed to the people the third time. That is, the third time after the return from Herod, the fourth time overall. If he had been a faithful civil ruler and a minister of God, he wouldn't be appealing to the people at all. He would just get on with doing what was right. But why did he want to release the Lord Jesus? Well, there are various factors, perhaps. He hated the Jews. He may have become fearful of Christ's words about kingship in some superstitious way. There was his wife's message, which might have worried him. But he knew that Christ was innocent, and perhaps he had a conscience. Surely he had a conscience. Even Pilate had a conscience. He knew he was more noble than the chief priests. He may even have had some human sympathy. That was not his general character, but it's possible. But how could this pagan have any kind of sympathy for this Nazarene? The carnal mind is enmity against God. How then did Pilate have this sympathy that he wanted to release the Lord Jesus? The answer is that he was ignorant of him. Indeed, he was deliberately ignorant. He was deliberately ignorant of the Lord Jesus. Unregenerate men can sympathize with an indefinite Jesus, as long as they don't know the truth about him. And Pilate did not know the truth, or very little of it, and didn't want to know any more. What is truth? Don't bother me. Pilate perhaps saw him as a rather out of touch figure, a dreamer, harmless enough, but who'd got himself into bother. So yes, he could sympathize with him, because he didn't know and didn't want to know the truth about him. Men and women can do that. They can feel that they don't hate Christ. They wouldn't side with his enemies, they say. But they keep their views of him unspecific. The Jews did at first. They had very little idea of what Christ was claiming. Or else they had wrong views. They viewed him as a political Messiah. But here's the thing. Christ is revealed as the Lord and Savior, upon whom you must completely depend to save you, and to whom you must submit as your Lord. Is this Christ beautiful in our eyes? Do we love this Christ? Pilate felt a sympathy for a Christ he did not know and did not know about. The Jews hated Christ because they did know what he was claiming. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Men may seem dormant, even though they have unrenewed hearts, but began to disturb with true views of the Lord Jesus, and they will be stirred. The chief priests were stirred. Pilate, still thinking only of Jesus, as nothing more than a helpless, deluded man. Fourthly, preference for murderers. Preference for murderers. Verse 23. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. It repeats the kind of man Barabbas was, as if to underline the shocking preference of these people. Perhaps Pilate reasoned that surely they wouldn't prefer this dangerous man, this Barabbas, instead. They might have a measure of sympathy with his politics, but surely not his methods. He'd been guilty of insurrection and murder, and they'd just been pledging great loyalty to Caesar. But you see, they did. And why did they prefer Barabbas? Well, there are several possible reasons. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. For them, this was sufficient reason for opposing, for wanting the opposite. They didn't like Pilate. Again, probably during the time that Pilate was getting the message from his wife The priests had been busy stirring up the people. But then thirdly, Christ had been popular when he entered the city. Now this is not long after. Remember, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So his popularity had plummeted with some of the people. He entered into Jerusalem as a king, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. It was all a damp squib as far as they were concerned. This big entry. But then nothing. He was not the Messiah they were looking for. He didn't lead them against the Romans, gloriously overturning the Roman occupation. He's now in their hands. He's about to be crucified by them, albeit at the behest of the Jewish priests. So he hadn't delivered the goods. Their view of the Lord Jesus was as good as his last miracle, as far as they were concerned. He'd entered Jerusalem, and then nothing. So get rid of him. Bring on the next candidate. The next possible Messiah. He's obviously no good. And so now they are a screaming mob, desiring that he be crucified. Don't expect sin to be reasonable. Sin is not reasonable. Sin is foolishness. In this country, why is there such a desire to protect Islam rather than Christianity? Why? When the radical Islamists are trying to blow us all up if we won't convert, and they're trying to impose Sharia law, why is Islam accommodated and Christianity is despised? Because anything is better in the eyes of the unregenerate man than the truth of God. And so a religion that is supremely intolerant can be tolerated, but not the claims of the Lord of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Pilate delivered him to their will. Verse 25. Sin doesn't make sense. The biblical understanding of what sin is, that makes sense. But sin itself is not sensible. So delivered him to their will. But this was according to the decree of God. Him, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, was delivered up, and ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Acts 2:23. It was not according to the preceptive will of God, God's command. Far from it, they were wicked hands. God in no sense commanded them. But he decreed that it would happen. And it did. And it is this specific Saviour to whom you must come, to whom you must bow the knee, to whom you must call upon to save you from your sins. One who did not demonstrate his power on demand. One who did not do a miracle for Herod. One who left Herod unanswered, and ultimately Pilate as well. One who did not come down from the cross in order to prove, as it were, that he was the Son of God, but who is now declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. It's this Saviour who came to suffer and die, this Saviour who didn't take the opportunities to save himself, who laid down his life for the sheep. This is the Saviour you need, the Saviour of the Scriptures, the sin-bearing Saviour who set his face toward Jerusalem, who delighted to do God's will, and who did the will of his Father even to the end, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Aren't we thankful that this is the Saviour, that Christ did obey to the end, that having loved his own, he loved them to the end, that he didn't take any of the escape routes, as he couldn't save us. But he was obedient unto death. He poured out his soul as an offering for sin, that he might justify the transgressors. And he is now at God's right hand. And shall we not love him with all our hearts? We love him because he first loved us. If we're believers, we love him not as we should, not as we will, but we love him still, because he is the Saviour and the only Redeemer of God's elect. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to us, that thou wilt teach us thy truth, and teach us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the princes of this world did not know. Help us, O gracious God, to walk in thy truth and to glorify thy name, to think highly of Christ and less of ourselves. Bless thy word to us and pardon our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.